Well, that's John's for the enemy. Well, I approach all of this very much from the position of a non-continental historian, as I'm an English local historian, with a bias towards looking at pre-Reformation and pre-Renaissance England. And the first thing that strikes me, coming out of Peter's paper, from which I'd like to widen out a little bit, is can we get behind the Renaissance symbolism used by the elites, which seem to be imposed, if you like, on the form of the carnival, and to ask a general question whether or not we're looking at accretions to popular culture rather than the manufacture of new forms. Have we got a substratum which goes back to heaven's knows when, but on which new forms are imposed? There seem to be two major problems about this, looking at it. The first one is a documentary one, and I would wish, I think, to see more contemporary detail, the detail which emanates from the documentation produced by insiders, rather than the comment of outsiders and foreigners, so that we can attempt to reconstruct from within what actually was going on. And also to ask whether or not we can probe a bit to what may perhaps lie behind. And in doing so, perhaps one comes up against the danger of turning into a folklorist, but I think one has to face that danger. Now, there obviously is a definitional problem here, for the discussion has emphasized, I think, earlier on, very much the social structural aspect of things. And I think I would wish to see a definition which expanded during the previous definition, so that somehow or other we had ritual doing something which relates society to what each culture takes to be the otherworldly, which is something rather more than just looking at social relations and looking beyond that. Now, in this sense, what lies behind what actually goes on in a situation like carnival obviously is very important. And I want just to concentrate essentially on one aspect of this and to ask whether we can perceive blocks of ritual time, sacred time, as it were. Now, it seems to me that there are two aspects to this in European society. There is a so-called Celtic division of the year, which goes from November to May, which is the one that Gangubé relies upon. And there is a second one, which is common in England and which can be paralleled in many cases on the continent, where you have a rather more complete integration of Christian liturgical activity, particularly activity related to the birth, life, death and resurrection of Christ, and popular customs, all of which, or many of which, fall into a block of time between Christmas and Midsummer. Now, if this is the case, and there is a distinction to be made between a block of highly ritualized time and the rest of the year, the other half of the year, in which there is less ritual activity, it may well be that what we look at in these blocks of time, the ritual blocks of time, take on a rather different significance to those that take place outside those blocks of time. Now, it seems to me that there is a tendency to cluster popular and sacred rituals into these seasons, and I'm thinking particularly of the one that stretches from Christmas to Midsummer. And I suggest that it may be possible to see some kind of logical structure, as it were, between the rituals that take place within that block of time, whereby different rituals complement each other, involving different groups or groupings within society which come into relationship with each other in a ritual context. And I wonder, therefore, whether we can't see carnival in this context. And to pick up Peter's many points in some respects, first of all, there's carnival as a period, obviously, of confusion, and the point that was made by Professor Ranger earlier on about carnival is a period of conflict, and the point made by Professor Ranger about confusion, I think, is very relevant here. I wonder whether it's accidental that this is so often tied down to Tuesday in French Mardi, and here we have, I bring a folkloric point in here, Tuesday after all is the Germanic god of war, Tu, and Mardi is the classical equivalent, Mars. And there are many situations of conflict which happen particularly on Tuesdays, interestingly enough, I think, anyway, in England. In the context of Carnival, in this period of confusion, one wonders whether one ought to be relating it, therefore, to this longer block of time, seeing it as both sort of anti-structure and even anti-ritual in its form. Secondly, Carnival, it seems to me, does involve the whole of society. It builds up, certainly, as Peter says, obviously from some districts and guilds, and even from youth groups, to involving the whole of society. And perhaps this might be contrasted with the other ritualistic activities that occur within the six-month period of time, which presumably, more usually, either involve the subgroups within society, or illustrate only one aspect of society, like the sacred the Feast of Corpus Christi. Finally, in this connection, Carnival, if it is involving the whole of society, is logically centrally staged in the piazza, as in contrast to the activities involving the subgroups within society who may be concentrating their activities much more at the level of the parish or the ward or the street. And this does bring society together in this context of time and contrast it at Carnival with these other activities during that block of time. Now, there's a final wider point which I would like to try and bring out of this, and that is to do with the distribution of Carnival, about which we don't seem to know very much. What strikes me, looking at things from the English point of view, is that the absence of Carnival in England is very noticeable. I don't think we can take the single customs, like throwing a cox, for example, which one can parallel in Peter's evidence, as proof of an earlier, wider activity or observance in this country. I've looked fairly hard for this, and it may well be that others will come up with examples, but the only example that I can find which gets anywhere near is the case of Norwich in 1443 on Fasting Gong Tuesday, which is Shrove Tuesday, when there was a procession with the 12 months of the year, followed by a King of Christmas, who in turn was followed by Lent, draped in red skins. And this apparently was accompanied by people disguised, and plays are referred to. But in England, we have a ritual emphasis which, in terms of involving the wider society as a whole, the times of the year which are most associated with this, seem to be, in one case, Christmas, the case of York, which seems to be under the influence of some Scandinavian custom, where there's the custom of Yule and his wife coming into the city, and this is a time of social license. But much more frequent seems to be in the English urban context are the customs associated with Midsummer. And again, when one gets to the end of the Middle Ages, one seems to see earlier things being overlaid by demonstrations of authority. But I think there's enough to indicate that in cities like London, Exeter, Bristol, Coventry, and Nottingham, where there was a marching watch, quite often brought in, I think, originally to control times of riot, that there was something approaching the carnival atmosphere. Certainly at Salisbury in the 15th century, this was known as the revel. Now, it may well be that this pattern, the absence of carnival in England, and an emphasis on the beginning and end of what I would take to be this sacred block of time, is something which is most common in Northern Europe, Scandinavia and North Germany, if I'm open to correction on this. And I wonder whether we might not get a little closer to understanding Carnival if we think about this comparative context, the difference between North and South in this connection. I think perhaps I'm important to close that.